Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I'm Stephen Gillespie, and joining me is a very special guest, 7-footer out of Boston College from Amsterdam, Quentin Post. Quentin, how are you doing today, man?
Good. Been having a great day. We're off today. Finally have some time in our schedule, but thanks for having me and excited to do this.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you, man. We were talking a little bit before the show. Big fan. Some of the guys here at No Ceilings are really ramping you up on their big boards, and it's going to be exciting to see over the course of the year where the consensus has you. But before we get into all that, Boston College is doing really good this year, man. Y'all are 8-3. You're like the guy pushing the team. I know you're a big teammate guy too, but you know, you're kind of the focus of the team, and nice game, a nice 3-game winning streak here. What are the vibes like right now for y'all?
Yeah, I think really good. I think we had a lot of expectations going into this season. And then especially this last win where we beat St. John's in the Barclays Center, I think was just a big lift for the guys. I think they were a good team, and we kind of showed that we can play with at a high level and can play with some good teams.
Yeah, for sure. What was it like playing in the Barclays, having a good outing and a good victory?
We've played in the Barclays before. The ACC tournament was in the Barclays my junior year, so that's 2 years ago. Yep. We made a nice little run where we upset Wake in the second round, I think. So me and some of the other returners were used to playing there, and so it was great to be back, and good game for us.
All right, right on. So let's back up. A lot of people might not be super familiar with your background, so I want to kind of cover, like, from, you know, playing in Amsterdam to where you're at now. So what was it like kind of growing up in that scene? You know, it's obviously a lot different than how basketball is here in the States. I know that you played for I'm going to try my best to pronounce the name, but it's Cartesius Lycum. Is that right?
Cartesius.
Am I close?
Lyceum. Yeah, you're somewhat close. So
okay.
So in Europe, the high school system isn't really linked to the sports, to like the athletics. So I didn't play for my high school team. Like, I played for my club team, which was called BC Apollo, exactly, basketball club Apollo. So that's where I played till 18, and then I moved on. But my high school didn't really have to do a lot with my basketball.
Okay, right on. So what was it like, though, playing for Apollo then? And obviously, you know, you played ball in Berlin and stuff like that as well, right? So what was that like? What's the basketball scene like out there?
Exactly. So I played first of all, the Netherlands itself isn't, like, really big on basketball. It's funny, like, we're some of the tallest people in the world. We produce a lot of height, but basketball just hasn't been that big. We're really big on soccer. But my dad always played, so I've been around the sport from a young age. But playing with Apollo was great. We actually had a lot of talent. It's funny, we had a lot of the guys that I played with back in the youth are actually now, like, really good players in college. For example, I played with Jesse Edwards, who played at Q's and now plays for West Virginia. That was my teammate. And then maybe Tristan Anaruna, I don't know if you know him. He played for Kansas, and now he's doing really well at Cleveland State. And that's only to name a few names that we actually had a bunch, maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 guys that ended up playing D1. So I was part of a pretty talented generation, which was good because there was some interest coming from colleges. And it was really my dad that helped me kind of get through the next level. Because I knew that I wanted to go to college, but out of Amsterdam, my last year, I didn't really have that much interest. So we tried to look for a club outside of the Netherlands, like, kind of move to a little bigger scene. And that was Alba Berlin. So Alba Berlin is a EuroLeague team nowadays, but they also have a very great developmental youth team, I would say. They let the youth teams also play against professional teams. So that gave me the opportunity to play against grown men at a younger age, 17, 18, which I think helped me in the long run. But the goal is always to get to college. I've kind of been just following the plan that me and my dad made, playing 1 year in a better team in Europe and then find myself way into college. And maybe, as you know, I played 2 years at Mississippi State, where I didn't have the best success, but yeah, also part of, you know, growing, developing. And then after 2 years, now I've been here at Boston College for the last three.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your time in Mississippi State here in a minute. I just got a question for you. I always find it fascinating when I get a chance to interview some of the international guys. You know, I interviewed Bobby Clintman last year and kind of asked him a similar question. But what's it like playing basketball in Europe, and how are you recruited? You know, is it a combination of like your coaching staff and people sending out film to different schools? Are they sending out scouts? Is it just you get a lot of traction during like FIBA runs and things like that? What's the scouting process like when you're an international guy?
I think there's a lot of different ways to get scouted. I will say, I think being a big man does help. Like being able to say that you're a 7-footer obviously makes scouting a little easier. I think America is very guard dominant. I think there's so many good guards, but as a big man, you can usually bring something to a team that maybe they can't bring in with like an American big, right? But for me, it was kind of Alba Berlin being a bigger team in Europe. I think that kind of put my name on the map a little bit. There are certain scouts that work in Europe that keep track of like the high level youth teams and of the players, how they perform, and then maybe they have your name on a list and they send those lists to coaches in America, in the US, of course. And then I also had some people that I knew that knew some coaches, and I think once the ball starts rolling, then you know it kind of takes off. So I wasn't highly recruited, but I was recruited by some few high major schools. Took a few visits and ended up choosing for Mississippi State.
Yeah, so let's talk about what led into that decision, because you mentioned you were recruited by some teams like Washington State, Georgia Tech were a couple of them that were interested in, you know, bringing you alongside, but you committed to play for Mississippi State. I also understand that you had an opportunity, like you could have played in Spain or Serbia as well, right? Instead of going the college route.
Where'd you get that information?
is that not accurate?
No, it's very accurate. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I try to do my research, my guy. And I saw that you mentioned this in an article whenever you committed to play for Mississippi State. I forget the outlet that you gave that answer to, but you had the opportunity to where you could have played in college ball or internationally. And I know that you said that the plan was always college ball. Why was that the case?
At that point, that's kind of, I don't know. It just spoke to me being able to have an education and just the college game. Like, honestly, that's something I learned throughout the years, but also something that maybe I expected. Like, I think it's just a beautiful game, like the fan engagement, the play in these arenas. The biggest thing about college, I feel like, it's one of the most true forms of basketball. Like,
sure.
Maybe it's shifting a little bit now with the NIL and the money, but I feel like it just used to be like my school against your school, and we're just going to play and the best wins. There's no politics involved. No, that's not true, of course, but it's just, I think it's a very beautiful style of basketball, very passionate. Guys play with a lot of passion, and then you got these schools with like loyal fan base. I just think it's such a cool environment to play, and I feel like people care about how players perform. And it was always something I wanted to be a part of. The European, the professional route was something that opened up very late to me. Like I was just really a late bloomer in my development, so I kind of had my mind made up that I wanted to do this the college way. And looking back on it, I don't regret that decision. Maybe I would have been somewhere else right now if I started playing in Europe, but it was always kind of the plan, and me and my we just decided to stick with the plan, and that's how I ended up in college.
Okay, fair enough. So you mentioned that you played for Mississippi State for a couple of seasons, and then you entered in the transfer portal. What were you looking for in your next team that you wanted to go to? You know, because I find that the transfer portal, it's all a, sometimes it's about opportunity. Sometimes it's, you know, wanting to play with a, you know, a friend or going to the same conferences like other players, things like that. What was it that kind of led to your decision to make the decision to enter the transfer portal?
For me, it was just playing minutes and I guess playing style. What I didn't expect, or what I learned, is when I came to Mississippi State that they played a very physical brand of basketball. And when I came in as a freshman, I weighed 215 pounds as a 7-footer. So I was very skinny and I couldn't compete physically. So I've never been pissed off at the fact that I didn't play too much freshman. So I was pissed off, but I was kind of understood, because what Ben Howland, my coach at Mississippi State, asked from his big guy was just not really what at that point I brought to the table, which is just a very physical, rebounding, setting screens, low post ceiling kind of play style. And that's not really what I brought to the table. So I kind of felt out of place. And I didn't feel like I was given the opportunity to play my style of basketball and the things that I feel like I did well. And then also just opportunity. There were just some really good players that played ahead of in front of me at Mississippi State. And I thought that it would be hard for me to kind of, you know, prove myself to become the player that I thought that I could have became. I probably would have stayed in like a backup role there. And I feel like the eyes were kind of, or like, yeah. Yeah, it just wasn't my place. Like, they were happy that I was there, but it was never about me or about my style of play and what I could bring to the table. So I just needed a new opportunity. And yeah, Boston College has just been a blessing to me. I think Coach Grant gives me so much trust and confidence. And I feel like, here I can kind of play how I've always wanted to play basketball.
Okay. Yeah. I want to ask you real quick about being in the transfer portal in of itself. You know, I always find the transfer portal, it's relatively new within college basketball, right? What's it like just being a player, right? It feels like it's almost like a second recruitment for me just watching you guys. So what is it like? Are you on your phone a lot? You know, are you and your family fielding a lot of calls? Like, what was that time like for you?
Yeah, it was pretty hectic. I actually talked to Matt Harms a little bit, who you might know, who used to be the big guy from Purdue. Also a Dutch guy, and he went into the portal as the number one ranked transfer in the nation. He ended up at BYU. We talked about it a little bit. My recruitment was a lot different than him. I was not the number one recruit in the nation. Honestly, I was happy that there was even one high major that was interested in me, which was Boston College. But still, I think I had about 20, 25 schools that were interested in me. So yeah, it's a lot of phone calls, a lot of texts. I remember I told all the coaches that reached out to me the first day that I needed 2 days just to let everything kind of sink in before I started talking about my next step, and they all respected that. And I think that's a piece of advice that I would give to anybody in the portal. If a coach really wants you, he'll wait 2 days to let you, you know, rest and think about everything. So that's kind of what I did, and then I started weighing my options. And Boston College was really the only high major place that was interested in me. The rest was all mid majors or low majors, and it wasn't really about that, but I also saw a fit in Boston College and an opportunity. I thought they needed a big guy, and they didn't make me any promises, but they showed me possible ways where I could be used in an offensive and defensive setting. So yeah, it just really spoke to me. The coaching staff spoke to me, and it was a pretty easy choice for me to choose for Boston College.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a hand in glove fit, man. Like, it just it feels like you were kind of always supposed to be there, just watching you play now, you know. And I like to figure out what it's like for these players when they enter in the transfer portal, because I think sometimes we just, you know, from people who have never been in that situation before, right? It seems like it's just like boom, boom, boom. And I really respect the fact that you took a couple of days to really get that mental clarity and make a good decision, not just a rushed one, because I feel like sometimes, you know, with at any level, right? Like professional, collegiate, international, whatever the case may be, you know, players are asked to do everything just as quick as they possibly can. And, you know, it, how hard is it to make the right decision all the time whenever you have to make them in just a split second, you know?
No, exactly. And like I said, I think if a coach is really interested in you, that interest won't fade away in the next 2 days, you know? And if it does, then maybe he wasn't that interested. And Boston College respected the fact that I needed 2 days, and they stuck with me. And so that made it a lot easier for me, you know, to take my time and do things on my terms and not get sped up by the fact, like you said, they will ask you, oh, please make a choice fast, because we also got to know in that situation, you got to be selfish and choose for yourself, because you're going to be the one that's attending the school. And it's about when you're in the portal, it's about where do I fit and not which school. Or you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get you.
Yeah,
because I mean, your future is on the line, right? Like, you only get a couple of years to make an impression to the next stage that you want to go. So time is precious for you and for anybody, right? That's in that situation. That makes a ton of sense to me, man. So let's fast forward to what you're doing this year. You know, let's talk about last season real quick. You averaged a career high in pretty much everything that you were doing last year, right? Like 15 points per game, 5 rebounds and assists. You were like 53% from the floor, 42% from deep, 86% from the line. You crushed it in the ACC tournament. You were the ACC most improved player. And then at the end of that year, right, you tested the waters in the NBA, which I love that whole process is around for players now, where they can go and see what NBA teams think about them, whether or not they feel like they're going to get drafted, and if not, what they can improve upon, you know, for maybe the next couple of years if they have that time remaining. So can you talk to me a little bit about what was it like for you? You had such a great year. You finished really strong. What was it like testing the waters? Because, you know, I don't know if people know if it's just meetings. Are you like doing drills for teams? Like what was that process like for you testing the waters?
Yeah, so I ended up working for only two teams. I ended up I worked out with the Celtics and with the Nets. I was supposed to do a few more, but I twisted my ankle in one of the first workouts, so I had to cancel the others. Wasn't the end of the world, but it was a really good process. You go into the facility, they fly you out. Well, for me, the Celtics one was just around the corner because I'm located here in Boston. But yeah, you just do a whole workout. You're usually in a group of 5 to 6 players, 6 players usually. And you work out for like 1 to 1.5 hours. You play a lot of 3-on-3 shooting drills. Then they also make some measurements, wingspan, verticality, all that stuff. So it's really fun. And you get to know the staff there, mostly the front office. I remember Brad Stevens was there with the Celtics and watched us work out. So I would say it's a really fun experience and also a really good one. And knowing that I'll probably go through some of these workouts again is really good that I did some last year. Got a lot of good feedback from these teams about what they think I need to improve on. And you get to keep some of the gear, which is pretty cool. I gave
myself there you go.
My Celtics shirt to my dad. He thought it was awesome. So yeah, it's just a really cool process, and you try to make the most out of the feedback that you get. And then, yeah, for me, I made the choice to go back to college, which at that point was definitely the right choice for me. And hopefully I'll get some more workouts this year.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, not only you test the waters, you maintain your eligibility. Team obviously welcomes you back with open arms for the amount of work and, you know, the production that you've had individually, right? But also how you're helping the team, right? And that's one of the things I really love most about your game, Quentin, is that you're a monster, right? Like you do so much on the court, but it's not just about you. Like everything that you do on the court is like for the betterment of the team. And I think that's what NBA teams probably love most about a player like yourself, right? So this year you're doing even better than you were last year, right? Like you're at about 19 points per game, 9 boards, over 3 assists, which was a pleasant leap. and over 2 blocks per game, another big leap there. Your shooting splits are kind of similar. Your free throw numbers are still really good. What was your approach coming into this year? I would imagine that you had like this warrior mentality coming back in, right? I finished last year strong. I'm getting feedback from NBA teams. I'm ready to put in the work. Like, that's how I imagined it was like for you.
Yeah. So the biggest thing for me last year is that I came back from injury. I had a stress reaction in my foot. And when I came back from injury, I was pretty heavy for my standard kind. I was at 260 because I was in a boot for 8 weeks and I couldn't move besides I swam a little bit. But a big thing is just throughout the season last year, I was getting back into shape. If you look at some of my first games back, I was a monster, but not in a good way. I was just big, super big, not moving. I was just doing things under the basket. And then throughout the end of the season, I got into better shape and I was able to move a little bit more. Like, that's kind of how I think of myself as a modern big who's pretty agile offensively and defensively. In the offseason, I lost a lot of weight, even from the end of the season. I'm a lot leaner right now than I was last year. And I think that has made me make these jumps, especially defensively. I think that I move better in ball screens, and I think I'm doing a better job of being vertical. And I guess that's how you, and that's why you see that my block numbers went up. And then offensively, I think I'm doing a better job of putting the ball on the floor, making those reads. And those are some of the things that I just wasn't that good at last year. And part of that is just because of my body being in better shape. And being healthy. Last year, I came back from injury, which made some of these things hard. And just being healthy and being in good shape makes all of this a lot easier. And I feel like I'm a more complete player this year than I was last year.
I agree, man. Like, and for everybody here, you know, I do show notes. Quentin, you don't have my notes, but you've answered a ton of my questions like throughout here. I was going to talk specifically about your defense. Like, it seems to have improved a ton, and it seems like, you know, you getting back into shape was like the big reason why you had that. And you mentioned that you had an injury. I believe you missed like the first like 13 games or something along those lines for your team last year. So it makes sense that it would require you to take a little bit more time to get back into shape. But you mentioned that you came back into this year. I believe your team has you listed at around like 235, 240, somewhere in that neighborhood for your weight. And you mentioned your block numbers have skyrocketed, man. I mean, at one point you were averaging the same amount of assists as you were blocks. You're not anymore. That's just because your assist numbers have gone up, but your defense is still really good. So I want to focus on the passing and the driving. You mentioned your driving a little bit and the passing. I talk a lot on our shows, in my writing, that for big men to make the jump in the NBA, like, you can be athletic or you can have a lot of feel, but NBA teams are going to want to run offenses through the big man, right? Like, if you can put the ball on the ground a little bit and make smart reads, like, I understand not everybody's going to be Nikola Jokic, right? Like, that's the standard for a passing big man. But look at a player like Steven Adams, who isn't like a ball handling wizard, but is capable of putting the ball on the ground and making good reads, operate out of DHOs and stuff like that. I feel like that part of your game is my favorite part. Have you kind of always had that innate feel, or is that something you've worked on, maybe a little bit of both?
I think it's something, part of it is coach putting a lot of trust in me. If you looked at my last game in St. John's, there was also a lot of times where I'm dribbling up the ball up the court. And for example, at Mississippi State, I never had the ball in my hand. So then it was also hard to make the right pass and make assists. So it's also the system that works in my favor. And then, you know, coach is okay with me making mistakes. I think throughout this season, I've done better. I think early on, I struggled a lot. There were a few games where I turned the ball over way too much. So it's something I want to keep improving on. I try to watch a lot of films on to see, especially when I make a lot of mistakes, to see what was the right read in that situation. And something I try to tell myself is just to play basketball the right way. And sometimes that's to make the easy read and not to try to go for the home run assist. So yeah, it's just a lot of it's a process, and I'll probably have games where I turn the ball over too much, and using those games to learn, and you know, don't get too down on yourself. So yeah, it's been a process, but I think yeah, I do have hopefully a natural feel for making the right reads, but I think I've gotten better at it. But it's something I got to keep improving on.
Yeah, and it looks like you have, man. And if you keep building on this, I can't imagine that NBA teams wouldn't be intrigued by adding, you know, a player of your size, your shooting touch, your improved defense, and they can trust you to have offense ran through you as well. Like, checking a lot of boxes this year, I'll put it that way. So I got two questions left. Let's have a little bit of fun first before I ask the big one. When you're not playing basketball, Quentin, what are you doing for fun?
I live in a house close to campus with my girlfriend. We've just done a lot of movie marathons. We just finished the Hunger Games marathon, and now we're doing the Harry Potter. Like, you know, it's getting a lot colder, so we're inside the house a lot. But then for the rest, I love hanging out with my teammates, my friends. I lived with them the last 2 years, so I still am over there a lot. We play a lot of video games together, and then in my off time I play a little chess on chess.com. That's always something I've done with my dad and my grandpa's playing. And then the last thing I'll say, yeah, it's kind of in the same movie theater, but or in the movie area, but we like going to the movies and seeing the new releases. So yeah, those are some of the things that I like doing.
Okay, what's been the one of the new movies that you've enjoyed the most?
We watched the new Hunger Games, the one like the throwback to the old President Snow or something. I thought it was really good, and that also inspired us to rewatch the old one. So yeah, that's definitely something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, we get in those movie watching marathons too. My wife and I, you know, we're big fans of like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, mm-hmm. the Harry Potters, and all those. It's good to watch those epics. It's a lot of fun, especially yeah. this time of year, like you said.
Yeah, it's getting a little colder. I think The Lord of the Rings is the next one I want to binge watch.
Oh, yeah. We got to watch The Hobbit first and then The Lord of the Rings.
Exactly, so you get
the
full effect. Yeah.
There you go.
Stay chronically correct. Or not. What's it called? Not chronically. Chronological.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go down there. I'm getting distracted here. All right, so Quentin, I got one more question I want to ask you before we close this out, right? And obviously you're wanting to play in the NBA. I feel like that's been very apparent. If an NBA team is investing in Quentin Post, Quentin, what could a team be expecting to get?
I think a very passionate player. I think I play with a lot of passion offensively and defensively. And then I think I bring a sorry, I'm struggling to say the word. Consistency to a team. Okay. I think offensively, I try to make the right reads. I think to an NBA team, I bring spacing to the floor. I can stretch out the defense, shooting the three-pointer. Defensively, I think I move my feet pretty well for somebody my size. So you can use me in different ball screens. And then I think I'm a rim protector. So yeah, those are some of the things I think I bring.
All right.
Making reads offensively, making passes. That's the last thing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you check a lot of boxes, you know, for your defense. So some of the things that I've enjoyed in diving into your film has been you've had moments where you can defend out on an island. You haven't just been, you know, relegated to being around the basket. You know, you've been trusted to guard some smaller players out in space without really compromising the defense, where everyone kind of has to shade your way, which I think that's going to go a long way when people scout you. So Quentin, I just want to thank you, man, so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy. Before I let you go, is there anything that you would like to share, anything that you have going on, or you know, things that you would like people to know about you, maybe anything like that?
Not really about me, you know. Anybody that watches this, you know, I would encourage them to watch some of the BC games. We're really trying to make a run play in March, which we haven't done, in a good amount of years. So, yeah, that's the only thing I would ask. Like, check into a BC game. We need to
be writing. We'll try to check back in with you at some point. But for everybody that's been watching, listening to the show, thank you so much for doing so. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review. Go to NoCeilingsNBA.com for all of your draft needs that you could ever want, for podcasts like this, for great articles, for the No Ceilings Plus, our big boards and mock drafts, all those things. Be sure to check those out. And thank you guys so much again for tuning in, and we'll catch up with y'all next time. Much love, y'all.